Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. And boy, 2020 is just relentless, isn't it? I mean, every single day, there is some kind of a surprise hitting, and you just don't know if it's going to be a good one or a bad one. And so I have had a lot of great luck this year, personally. So I feel extremely fortunate and blessed. But I've seen a lot of people who are having a terrible time. And so let me just start, because I want to talk some in this podcast about this new UFO task force that the Pentagon is producing. And I want to read some really interesting and weird emails to you from listeners from around the world. But here first is a bit of an update on sort of me and what I've been doing. So first off, I'll say that last night, two of my very close family members were in a serious car accident. And I don't want to say yet who they were, just to preserve privacy. And you know, down the road, perhaps I can give you more details. But they were driving through the mountains at night and hit a bear. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, you don't think about. This happened in North Carolina. Of course, we have black bears there. So when you're driving at night and you have a black bear in the middle of the road in the woods, you're probably not prepared for that. I don't even think any brakes were applied. It was just boom. And so they were rushed to the hospital. One of them had to go into emergency surgery. And I'm happy to report that things have turned out much, much better than they could have. They both could easily be dead. The car was totaled, and some of the injuries that required surgery were, you know, quite serious. So they're going to be spending some time in the hospital for a while. But I'm telling you, as soon as I heard about this, you know, of course, I started praying and doing everything that I could with my manifestation tools, and everybody else who was involved did the same thing. And we just feel very, very, very fortunate for how this turned out. And let that be a warning to you as well, that never be so confident when you're just zooming around that, you know, maybe you don't see any other signs of traffic or whatever, but you never expect to all of a sudden have a deer or a cow or a bear or whatever just boom, you know, pop right out there in front of you. So that a lot of people get killed that way every year. And, you know, just to recap for you, just some of the things that have been, you know, really terrible that have happened, sort of swirling around this year with my connections. Of course, you know, Lauren's father, he had his heart attack and died and was brought back to life. And he's doing well right now. So, again, that was a terrible thing that had a happy ending. But I have two close friends who each saw a relative die. One friend had her brother die, and one friend had her father die. I have a close friend who had a young son who died. I mean, I'm knocking on wood. And if you think about these, now these are personal things related to people that I know, and you combine that with what we're going through together. You know, you can't go outside without a mask, and many of the things you love to do are closed off to you. American cities are being pillaged and burned by Americans. A huge hurricane is flooding and tearing apart Louisiana and parts of Texas right now as I record this podcast. Everybody is fighting politically here in this country, and I mean, the list just goes on and on. I can't even keep up with it. In fact, I saw a post, kind of a meme, I guess, on Twitter the other day. And there was a glass there with some liquid, and it said, "Optimist, The glass is half full. Pessimist, the glass is half empty. 2020, this is P, isn't it? So that's a pretty good one, right? Whether it's half empty or half full, who wants to drink to drink the urine? I think we can all kind of understand the humor of that. But before I tell you about some of the, you know, positive things that have been going on in my life, I also just want to say that it's easy to let this stuff wear you down and to turn you into a negative, pessimistic person. And in fact, just recently here in Las Vegas, they opened up some of the movie theaters for very limited seating. And of course, you got to wear a mask and all that sort of thing. And they are playing old movies. So Lauren and I went to see The Empire Strikes Back, which came out 40 years ago. And it's just as entertaining as ever to watch on the big screen. And that's a big part of that movie. The, you know, that was the second Star Wars movie that was made. That's when Yoda was introduced. That's when Luke Skywalker really begins training with the Force, and he learns that hate is the path to the dark side. You know, that if you let all these things in life piss you off and make you angry, if you're sort of fighting monsters, you have to be careful that you don't wake up one day and realize that you have become a monster too. You know, you've become that thing that you hate. And so for those of you who are working right now with me trying to fight the destructive forces out there that I call the forces of Legion, that are all working together in order to divide and conquer us and tell us how terrible we are and break us down and ultimately enslave us, you know, by destroying our confidence. For those of you who are working with wishing machines, if you're working with prayer boards, wands, whatever your chosen manifestation tool is, I just want to remind you of this quote that I've always found sort of reassuring from the Bible. And it's Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, you don't have to take the Bible seriously, and you don't have to take that literally. But I think you can get the point here. And the point is, as I've said before, fighting hate with hate is the same thing as saying, well, two wrongs don't make a right. And sometimes you have to fight, and you have to defend yourself, and you have to fight back and punch something that's coming at you, you know. But in terms of a long-term solution, just remember that. I'm going to read it for you one more time. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. That's Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. So you see, this is the more difficult, and yet it is the more advanced way of defeating threats and destructive forces. You combat them with positivity and love. And so right now, any of these, and you know, you can only do so much at a time, all right? Like I say, don't try to change the whole world. Focus on your neighborhood. Focus on your piece of the world. Focus on the people that you know and you can affect. And put on your wishing machine. Put on there somebody that you don't like, or something that you don't like, some company that you don't like. Put them on there And instead of projecting something really nasty, project kindness and love and understanding at them. And let's see over time how that affects what, you know, how this year ends up. All right, just try it out. It's like taking the high moral ground or whatever, but it's more than that. It's about perhaps having your energy prevail because it's a higher frequency. It's more penetrating. I mean, sure, you can fire a chunk of dense lead at somebody, or you can drop a nuclear bomb and send out radiation, and it changes, it rearranges the entire environment. And that's because it's a higher frequency. And I'm not trying to say, you know, it's I'm not trying to inspire you to do anything aggressive in that way. I'm just saying, remember that whenever you start feeling that you're about to lose it and whatever you consider the bad guys are about to drag you down to be like them, it may be a trap. Okay, it may be a trap they're setting for you, and it's up to you to make sure you do not fall into that trap. You just stick with your principles and you project positivity, and it's kind of like the concept of, you know, praying for somebody that you don't like and saying, look, I don't like the way you behave or whatever, but I pray that something will happen in your life that brings you some understanding and enlightenment so that you can be redeemed, basically. So keep that in mind. And it also, this concept reminds me of what they have said in some old European traditions about those who would encounter a leprechaun. They say, if you're stumbling down a trail in the wilderness and you look up and a leprechaun is there, and you know that if you can control that leprechaun, well, but he'll have no choice but to give you his treasure. The main thing that they say is don't take your eyes off of that leprechaun. Now, you can blink, but you better do it fast, because the fact that you are keeping your gaze on that leprechaun somehow controls it. It reminds you of quantum physics, doesn't it? The observer effect, how that the double slit experiment works, that matter changes in a certain way just because you observe it in a certain way. So one of the great things about, say, a wishing machine or a radionics device is that it's one of those Ron Popeil, like, you can set it and forget it. And that's true. And you can do that. It's like an automated system, in my opinion, that you put your manifestation wish onto and you set it aside. And you can forget it to some extent. But you need something that you do on a daily basis to keep your head where it needs to be and keep your thoughts good. And there are different devices you can use for that, you know, prayer boards and things like that. Or you can just put some really effective daily affirmations around that remind you of what your goal is so you stay on track. And that goes for anything that you want to accomplish in life. So if you are one of these people who has trouble doing that, let's say you suffer from low willpower. You get really excited and you say, I have something big that I'm going to do. I'm going to make a change in my life. And you're gung-ho for a few days, and the next thing you know, you've totally forgotten about it. And maybe a week or two later, you'll remember that you forgot about it, okay? If you're like that, and I think that's natural, especially when you have all these distractions with the media these days and everybody trying to pull you in a different direction, or if you have trouble imagining what you want and even visualizing it and specifying it to begin with, well, I'm working on something for you that is going to change your life, okay? It's going to be the thing that connects with you. And I've been wanting to create something like this for a long time. And I'm going to be telling you soon what this is. So I've been working on this new product that is specifically there to address this, and it has been working wonders so far in my personal experiments. So here's a little update for you, a little personal update continuation. In addition to the filming projects that I do, and of course that is always, when you go and film something, it's not just about showing up and filming. It's about all the phone calls and the conference calls and the emailing that goes on back and forth and the paperwork getting signed and tax documents being faxed and all, you know what I'm saying, like all that stuff. It's like if you do 50% of your work is just like office work, which is boring and time consuming, and then you finally get out in the field and, you know, if you're lucky, things go the way you want in the field and it doesn't rain on you or whatever. So in addition to always working on things like that, I just finished a new book. And this is the last time, of course, I've published over 20 books now, and some of my books have been 400 pages. Some of them have been 100 pages. Some of them have been less than that. Some have been a little closer to what you might consider a booklet, like my one on Robert the Haunted Doll or the Brown Mountain Lights. It just depends on the kind of book you want to write. And sometimes it's more effective to condense a story into less space. And sometimes you really want to say, okay, we're going to go balls to the wall with this. And that's how it is when I've written some of my novels, for example, that are some of the longer books. But I just finished up a new book that I'm very proud of. And I've reached a point in my life where anything that I write, I could turn around and sell it to a publisher tomorrow. And a lot of that is because I understand how the publishing business works, and I have a lot of friends, and I know how to do all that. But this is one I'm going to keep for me. I'm going to self-publish this one. And I've done this with some of my books also. I originally self-published my book, Haunted Asheville, which then went on, and I eventually sold that to a publisher. And then, you know, I self-published Finding Your Magic. This one is a book that I'm going to publish through my company, Shadowbox Enterprises. And when you hear about it, I think you'll be quite excited, because it's got a lot of potential to spin off into other things. So even though the writing of the book is finished, well, now you go through like proofreading and editing and then typesetting and artwork and all. So now I'm getting started on the publishing process, and hopefully this will be ready by the end of the year. But listen to this. Okay. I wasn't even sure if I was going to get into this, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for you because you listen to this podcast and you support me and the work that I do, and I get all these, you know, great opportunities to communicate with all of you all over the world. So let me just go ahead and tell you that something very unexpected has happened just over the past couple of weeks. Out of the blue, I received an offer, a great opportunity regarding this podcast. And I'm not allowed to give you details right now about that. But here's what I will tell you. Ultimately, this is a very positive thing. And we're still discussing stuff and hashing things out, and there's paperwork to be signed, but if everything works out okay, then this podcast is going to change a little bit. And it's nothing that's going to diminish, you know, the qualities that you listen for, but the way it is going to be produced and released will change. And the great thing about this is that it will be released on a consistent schedule. So right now, and I've been doing this podcast for almost 3 years, this particular podcast. Right now, I kind of record a podcast when I can do it, you know, because I'm doing all these other projects. And you never know exactly when one's going to be coming out. I've gone through periods where one comes out every day, and sometimes they're 5 minutes long. I've gone through periods where I do a podcast on my phone. There's not much consistency here. And that's one of the fun things about this podcast. But it also can be frustrating for people who really enjoy keeping up with things on a more regular basis. So if all this works out, the way this podcast is going to be made available to you and whatnot, there are some things that are going to change, but I will be able to tell you, here is when the new podcast is going to be out. Boom, boom, boom. Here is how long it's going to be. Boom. It's bringing some structure to this. And frankly, this is the product of this show being very, very popular, and so many people all over the world wanting to really keep up with it on a more regular basis. And so this is going to help reach a much, much bigger audience and all that kind of stuff while still letting me talk about what I want to talk about. So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. You'll be the first to know when I can give out more details if all this even happens. But if everything works out the way it's supposed to, then there may be a kind of transition period where I'm not necessarily doing a podcast for a little while I'm getting everything sort of revamped and modified to this new system. But this is a big, big potential opportunity, and it will make life a hell of a lot more interesting for you as a listener. I can promise you that, okay? It's in the long run, it might just cause me extra work, frankly, but that's okay as long as it makes the experience much better and more interesting for you. And because as I've said before, I don't do this podcast to talk to myself. I do it because you listen to it. And it's an interesting opportunity for me to put thoughts out there and interact with you. And, you know, so that's why I do it, because I love it. So I'll let you know as soon as I can about what happens with that particular opportunity. Okay, here's one thing that this news has already been out there for, I don't know, maybe a week or something. Sometimes time seems like a blur at this point. But you probably heard, if you keep up with this stuff, that the Pentagon has announced the formation of a new UFO task force. Of course, nowadays, people don't officially call them UFOs anymore. They're called UAPs, which is Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. And it's just a more general way of looking at it, I guess, because people think of an object as being a physical thing, and I guess an unidentified aerial phenomenon or unidentified aerial phenomena includes things that may or may not be what we consider physical. I mean, like, for example, let's say a brown mountain light is a plasma, like ball lightning. Is that a UAP? Yes. Is it a UFO? I guess if you had to pick between a UFO and a UAP, it would be more like a UAP. So I understand why they're doing that, but also I think that from time to time, people just try to separate themselves from some of the more popular language that has had some kind of tabloid baggage attached to it over the years. And so it makes them feel like they can have a fresh start. So, okay, in order to sort of get somewhat of a handle on this, I figured, okay, you can go to all these news outlets and see what they say, but I just, you know how it is these days. You don't know who to believe and who not to in the news. We've gone over this already. So I'll just tell you what comes from space.com. So this is a respected scientific website. And, of course, they always lean on being very skeptical, which, you know, that's a part of the scientific method. So they start out this article at space.com saying that, let's see, what does the Pentagon's new UFO task force mean? And it says, here's some perspective. And they start off by just saying, okay, well, here are these new videos that have come out, and we all know about that. So I'll skip to this next heading. It says new task force. Last week, the U.S. Department of Defense, the DOD, announced the creation of a task force to analyze and understand the, quote, nature and origins of UAPs. The Department of the Navy, under the cognizance of the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, will lead the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, or the UAPTF. Oh boy. Try reading that paragraph after a few shots. The mission of the UAPTF, quote, is to detect and analyze and catalog UAPs that could potentially pose a threat to U.S. national security, end quote, DOD officials said in a brief statement released on August the 14th. So, isn't that interesting? If you've watched that movie on the TV series on the History Channel called Unidentified, the one hosted by Luis Elizondo, that's the big thing that he and Chris Mellon are always hammering on. This is a security problem. You know, we need to study this because we have these things in our airspace and we don't know what they are. You know, are we being leapfrogged by the Chinese and the Russians? And, you know, they love saying that. Or is this something just truly from, you know, another planet or whatever it is? We need to know what it is. So that's the sort of angle they're using on it. And all right, fine. Whatever it takes to get the job done. I mean, frankly, they make a good case in these TV shows and stuff that there's no reason whatsoever to believe that any human being has achieved the level of technology exhibited by some of these UAPs. And so we can therefore presume that if all the information we're being given is correct, that these things are either from another planet and or dimension. And when you get to their level, that may be the same thing. You know, when you're traveling through space and time, who knows if we can even define space the same way anymore. But anyway, this article goes on to say, but before you set up greeting signs and start tossing out welcome mats for the incoming aliens, a little perspective and context are in order. The writer says, I asked some UFO specialists what they thought of the newly announced task force. So they start here, and let's see. I'm just going to make this short. The first person they talked to here was Mark Roediger, who is the president and scientific director of the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies in Chicago. He said, quote, the formation of a task force on UFOs is another welcome development in the recent renewed interest and attention to these reports by government agencies and political actors. He went on to say, without further details, it's impossible to judge how well-positioned the task force will be to seriously investigate reports, but I remain cautiously optimistic for now, end quote. Roediger said he understands the need for secrecy, however, quote, I would hope that as much information as possible is released to the public so we can all be informed on this potentially world-shattering subject, end quote, he told Inside Outer Space. And that's really all that anybody is able to say at this point. They say that there are many non-extraterrestrial reasons why the Defense Department is interested. First, to identify and ameliorate instrumental funnies in new sensory technology. In other words, equipment failure and glitches. Second, to determine how detection funnies might be deliberately induced by hackers and real enemies, and what we can do to frustrate those efforts. So in other words, somebody, you know, tapping, or as they said, hacking into your system to confuse you. Third, to deliberately induce anomalous targets into the range of our own new detection and tracking technology as a way of testing it. So that's a little more nebulous. It's like, let's see if we can create stuff that'll screw up our own technology. Fourth, to test enemy detection systems, which pokes to identify exploitable weaknesses. So this is something where you're saying, well, is this a weakness that we have psychologically or technologically, and is this something we can exploit in our enemies? Fifth, to assess which reports from within or near adversary nations are indicators of their classified military testing and operations we might need to look into. That's the whole, like, are we being leapfrogged by somebody? Boy, these guys are wordy, aren't they? Sixth, to determine which detections at home or abroad accidentally reveal highly classified operations of our own that might be revealed to enemy nations that are also looking for such indications. So this involves stealth and misdirection. Seventh, insofar as observations of UFO reports from adversary nations are indicators of leaked, observable clues to military capabilities, to do nothing to provoke such regimes from curtailing their own news media coverage of the pseudo UFOs. I don't know. Maybe it's too late for me. Let's see. What's that? Insofar as observations of UFO reports from adversary nations are indicators of leaked observable clues to military capabilities. Okay, so again, this is like, let's see if some other asshole out there is creating these things. And let's see, eighth, insofar as our own domestic UFO reports may be authentic indicators of classified military activities, to purposefully create camouflage and masking reports to distract, confuse, or lull foreign observers and analysts. So, I don't know, I think I could have condensed that down into about two or three points, but there you have it. They didn't mention, you know, the possibility of other life out there, so I don't know, folks. Is this really going to be worth anything? Or is this just going to be another sort of, you know, Project Blue Book situation where they go out and just say, well, we're doing something. Oh, it's all swamp gas and the planet Venus. Nothing to see here, folks. You know, history does tend to repeat itself. So we may be dealing with something along those lines. And yet, and this is a dangerous thing for me to do, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I think, and maybe you can call this a prediction. Go ahead, do it. Call it a prediction. I think if Donald Trump wins his second term in office, that over the next 4 years, there will be a big UFO revelation. Now, this has nothing to do with my opinion of politics, nor should it have any relevance to your opinion of politics. I think that right now we have reached a very critical point where this information can no longer be easily suppressed. Trump understands that. He claims publicly he doesn't necessarily particularly believe that these are, you know, whatever, but you have to say that kind of stuff. But since he became president, he hasn't done anything to stifle these Pentagon revelations. And, you know, the senators, they've been getting all these updates and memos and briefings and stuff. And now we have this task force, and Trump's real proud of forming that space force and being the president when we're heading to Mars. We're heading back to the moon. We're heading to Mars. He thinks of things on a very, very grand scale. Now, again, this has nothing to do with your opinion of his conduct as a politician. But there's no doubt about it. He has a giant persona. And I have read that he would like to have his face on Mount Rushmore. And supposedly that's not a joke. All right. So I believe that he would love nothing more than to be the president who takes the podium and announces to America, to the world, we are not alone. Okay. In so many words. And it would be, you wouldn't want to do that before your second term election. Because here, if you're not listening to me in the U.S., you may or may not realize that in the U.S., under normal circumstances, a president gets two terms. So he's term limited. He gets two terms each of 4 years. So usually a president only stays in office for a potential total of 8 years. And of course that can change a little bit if something really horrible is happening, like in World War II, FDR got some extra time and stuff. But generally speaking, a president gets two terms. So once you win your second term, you get a lot of freedom to take a lot of risks that you wouldn't do in your first term. And the way the world would react to that news is unpredictable for everybody. Okay, you can run all the models you want, and we see how that kind of shit goes, right? So nobody knows for sure how people will react to that news. So that's too risky to put out there before you win your second term. But if he gets his second term and he has crossed that hurdle, I think that would be his ace in the hole to announce something big about UFOs. So again, that's a prediction. Mark my words, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll even be a part of the new Pentagon UAP task force. But I wouldn't be able to tell you. That would kind of suck, wouldn't it? I don't know, you think they'd trust a guy like me who talks to all of you to be a part of the task force? I don't know. Strange things are afoot. Anything can happen. So, until we get more information, well, that's all we know about that. Okay, now why don't we get some insight and some updates from you, the listeners, all around the world. I have so many emails that I find are interesting enough to read, but I don't have all the time in the world, and so I'm just going to pick some of them out here and kind of almost randomly and read them to you. I mean, I make a note when I get an email and I say, oh, this could be interesting enough to read, because it's the sort of thing that I would like to share with you and share my response as well. Because sometimes, if somebody has a question out there and they send it to me and I answer that question, well, now that's good information for you to have, because maybe, you know, how many of you may have this same question out there? Okay, so I'm just going to give out first names on this, or no names or whatever. Let's see here. First one comes to me from the UK. And, you know, of course, I broadcast, if you want to call it that these days, I podcast out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And I have listeners all over the world. But outside of the United States, the UK is, I think last time I looked, the number one country. A lot of people listen in Australia. Obviously Canada, maybe actually Canada is probably number two. I can't remember, but the UK is up there. So I got this from Katie in the UK, and she said, I just watched a couple of Beyond Belief episodes. By the way, let me pause right here and say she's talking about the streaming TV series that Coast to Coast AM host George Norrie produces every month for Gaia TV. And the studio is there in Boulder, Colorado. And you know, once in a while, like usually once a year or whatever, I'll fly to Boulder and I'll do one of these with George. And I've been doing this for years now. And if you subscribe to Gaia TV, well, you can watch me sit down and be interviewed on camera, sort of Johnny Carson style. And that's not common. I don't do that much. You know, most of the stuff I do is audio, or occasionally I'll do something on a webcam. But no, it's a very well done show. So that's what she's talking about when she says beyond belief. She says, fascinating stuff you share with us. I wanted to ask you if you knew anything about black shadows. Many years ago, when I lived in London, I shared a house with other people. This 100-year-old house in North London, and I had my room in the attic. After a night out, I came back home with a friend of mine, and I was sitting on the floor. It was early on a Sunday morning, and I was playing some records for him. He was sitting on my bed listening to my records, and I happened to turn around and look in the direction of my bedroom entrance door, and I saw this black, shadowy form storming at me, appearing to be very angry. She says in parentheses, maybe he didn't like my music, LOL. So I turned to my friend, and he said, I saw it too. He said about 10 times this morning, but I didn't want to freak you out, so I kept quiet. After that event, I asked my landlord to move me to another room in the house. I still don't know what this thing was. It looked like a human shape, smoky black, and stormed toward me and then suddenly disappeared. Thank you and have a good day. And again, that comes from Katie in the UK. Well, thank you for that report, Katie. And here is what I wrote back. I said, indeed, I get a lot of reports of these shadow beings. Most of the time, they're sort of hiding in the corner and quietly watching. It's less common to hear of one storming ahead angrily. He must have really hated that music. Generally, I feel these beings are spirits that are not fully materialized. They have become just physical enough to block out some light, but not enough to reveal detail. It could have been the spirit of a dead person or an independent spiritual slash interdimensional being. Both are capable of appearing as you have described. Thanks again for sharing your experience, Joshua P. Warren. And let me also, since I'm giving a little more context to this here on the podcast, my throat's getting a little dry, so I'm going to grab some water here. Let me just also say that when you see these shadowy beings that are kind of lurking in the corners, it does make you wonder sometimes if these could be humans from the future. And yeah, you're like, oh, where the hell did that come from, Josh? Well, a lot of times they're sort of peeking like they don't want to be noticed. And if humans came back from the future because they invented some kind of time travel, they would want to interact as little as possible with the past so they wouldn't screw up their own present when they get back to the future. Like what happens in the movie, potentially, Back to the Future, right? You can't go back and accidentally mess up the relationship between your mom and dad, or you never get to be born. It's part of what they call the grandfather paradox. So maybe, you know, sometimes beings that come from the future, they just want to observe, they don't want to interact, and they appear as a semi-manifested form. Now it makes perfect crystal clear sense, right? The other thing about these beings that kind of partially manifest and watch you creepily is that they may just be parasites waiting for you to go to bed so they can just slip out there and feed on you. So, hate to tell you that if you're about to go to bed, but I'm here to help. All right, let's see here. Next message. Let's see, this comes from Colorado. I was just talking about Colorado. So this comes from a lady named Betty. She heard me on Coast to Coast AM. She said, "You mentioned something that made me think you would be interested in this story. My late husband," she said, "I could say the names here. My late husband Leo learned how to contact those in spirit at a class held by Paul Solomon when Leo was about 50. About 20 years ago, we got the news that our daughter was pregnant. So we got ready to leave the prairie to move to Seattle to be with her. At that time, we had three cats we had to rehome because our daughter is allergic to cats. I posted an ad with pictures on the grocery store bulletin board there in Denver. And that's how we came to meet fellow cat lovers who said they would take all three. The day we drove to meet their prospective family, the woman there named Nancy explained they had wanted to sell their beautiful house and move to the foothills, but there was a spirit living in their house in Denver. And Denver had a law against selling a house that was haunted. Nancy explained that whenever they left the house, for instance, pictures she was sorting through in neat piles would just be spread all over the place when they returned, and she said she felt the room to the left at the top of the stairs was where this spirit lived, emanated from. Well, Leo said, "I'll see what I can do." And he went upstairs. He was gone for about a half an hour, and when he came down, he told us what had happened. The spirit he spoke to was a woman who went to sleep with a lighted cigarette. The room caught on fire, and she was trapped and died in the flames. Leo explained to her that she was dead and needed to go to the next step. He asked her if she could see a bright white light anywhere, and she said she could. And he told her to head towards that, and she would be able to go on, that she didn't need to be trapped anymore. So she left, and there were no more instances of the scattering of photos, etc. Nancy and her husband sold their house and moved to the foothills, but they felt too isolated and eventually returned to Denver. Got a very posh condominium with three cats. Again, that's from Betty there in Colorado. Thank you for that, Betty. And I do get emails quite frequently from people who say, "I have a ghost or something like that in my house, and it's scaring me and my family, and how do I get rid of it?" And what I usually do is send them a link to a podcast that I did a couple years ago, which is kind of a lower quality podcast. I did it on my phone. I was traveling, but still the content is good. And I was giving my advice on different things that you can try. And as a matter of fact, I believe I'm going to do an updated version of that this year. Maybe I'll save that for closer to Halloween, which will be here in no time. They already have, Halloween costume stores opening up around the at least this country. And I'll talk about some of these methods, but one of the basic things is what it sounds like Leo was doing. Sometimes you just have to go up and sit down and try to mentally connect with the spirit that's there. And if you think it's somebody who's peaceful and confused, then you just tell them, "Go to the light." Now, like you may hear "go to the light" and you go, "Geez, that's so cliched and so stupid." Like, I've seen the movie Ghost or whatever, but that's because you grew up in this world with these books and movies and stuff, and that's so you know that. But if you didn't grow up with all that, if you grew up in a time where that wasn't common, It might not ever occur to you, like, go to the light. I don't know exactly what that means much more than you do. I can sit here and rattle off theories, and maybe I'll do that when I leave a podcast in October for you. But my point is, if it's something that is scaring you, then you can go there and scream at it and, you know, just tell it to get the hell out of there and curse at it and whatever you want to. But if it is a being that's sort of lost, then you might want to take a more caring approach and just talk to it. I mean, sometimes that's all it takes. So, seems like that's what happened in this case. Okay. Where is this next one from? This is from Colorado. Look at that. I have a lot of listeners in Colorado, huh? This is from a person who has such a distinctive name. I'm not going to say that the person's name. Apparently is a lady. But it's just, well, I don't want to take a chance with giving out something that might cause some privacy problems. But this lady says, "Thank you, brother, for your amazing work." Amazing work is all in caps. That's a nice way to start out, isn't it? Says, "I wanted you to know for a long time this happened to me in the summer, fall of 2012. I had a demonic force in my family apartment. I was not sure such things were true until this. I was in an extremely depressed state. It, or they, were watching me sleep, and one night one tried to get into my body. I was not sure what was going on. Things were being moved around, and these beings were foul-smelling. I didn't know what to do until I saw your show on Gaia TV. Years ago, the insights that you had helped me to battle it, take authority, and dispel it. It is a fascinating, true story with witnesses. Thank you, thank you. I could not have done it without you. One love, one life, one people. Namaste." And then she signs off very, very cordially here. Isn't that nice? So, again, I mean, I have not been asked to promote, go overboard and promote George Norrie's program on Gaia TV, but there you go. It's called Beyond Belief. You might even just check out a free preview. The new one will be out sometime in September. I gave you the date before. I can't remember what it is, but let's see. Oh, okay. September 16th is what they're saying. Always subject to change. Okay, well, thank you for that wonderful email. How about one more? Let's go to this one I got from Erica. And where does Erica live? The UK. Well, I'm seeing a lot of synchronicity here. So I've read, let's see, two Colorado stories. Gaia TV's come up. I read a UK story. Here's another UK story from Erica. And apparently Erica bought a wishing machine and then started noticing something odd happening in her life. And here's what she said. "Hi, Joshua. I really hope this email finds you well. I hope you don't mind. I want to ask your opinion on something. I keep seeing repeating numbers. Different numbers, but repeating for about 6 weeks now." And then she gave some examples, like, of course, 1111, or 1616, 555, 2020, 2121, 0000. She says they vary, but they're always repeating. It's like numbers are stalking me, ha ha. She says, I have my wishing machine. Could this have something to do with that? Or do you think it's just a coincidence? Thank you so much for your time. So here's what I wrote back to Erica. I said, Erica, in my opinion, it means there is more organizing and falling into place around you. That's good news. It means your manifestations are going to be powerful. Every number is a bit of information. It represents something in the environment. And the more arranged they begin to look, then the further you are moving away from potential chaos. And then I said, please read this book. This is a good one for any of you who are finding this happening. And thank you for that, Erica, very much. And in fact, as I mentioned, I mean, you're sort of in an ocean with a lot of chaotic currents. And when you start manifesting, what you're doing is you're taking some control over that and you're turning the noise into music. And so you obviously are going to begin to see a lot of organization that begins to appear around you, almost like a cymatics pattern. So I referred her to this book. It's a great book if you are experiencing this, or if you're not and you're just interested in it. It was written by a friend of mine, Marie D. Jones, along with author Larry Flaxman. I interviewed them on my old show, Speaking of Strange, when this book came out. It's recently been reprinted. It's called 1111. And it's written just like you would write it if it were the time on a clock. So it's like 11, like 1-1, and then a colon and 1-1. 1111, the time prompt phenomenon. Mysterious signs, sequences, and synchronicities. So this, the re-released one, you can get as a paperback, Kindle, or audiobook. And let's see if there's a nice little description of this. Because, I mean, this is definitely a weird thing. And she's a great author, and so is Larry. And, I mean, some people, they try to read this stuff, and it kind of goes over their head. But it says, do you wake up every night and see 1111 on the clock, or 333, or 444? And does the same number sequence seem to appear throughout your life? Over and over. Did you know millions of people all over the world experience the same phenomenon? These mysterious number sequences are known as time prompts. They show up on digital clocks, cell phones, receipts, billboards, advertisements, and other places. They seem like pure coincidence, but what if they are actually messages from a higher source, like angels, guides, or even the universe itself, urging you to pay attention to something important? And then this book goes on to explore the science behind synchronicities, coincidences, and the mathematical nature of reality, numerical patterns and sacred geometry and nature, such as the Fibonacci spiral, the golden ratio, DNA sequences. Enter the intriguing world of time prompts. If numbers are the language of the universe, what are they saying to you? And I actually wrote about this concept some in my book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. And I can't remember where it was. It might be chapter 11, let's see, where I talk about courting the universe. That basically, you know, the universe is always trying to communicate with you, but it doesn't speak English. You know what I mean? Not necessarily. I mean, you have to be able to read the signs. And in fact, that's where some different sort of divining techniques, like claromancy, as they call it, comes from, which is maybe reading tea leaves or Yi Jing or seashells or sticks. You know, some people throw things around and they believe that, well, the pattern in which these things land is obviously being reflected by something, or they are reflections of something. So, I mean, it kind of, it's sort of like dropping a leaf to see which way the wind is blowing. But it can happen in many different ways, and technology seems to be especially sensitive to it. So again, that book is called 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities by Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. Gosh, I could just keep on reading emails to you, but I think I'm going to call it a day here. I hope that you have watched the interview that I gave to Justin Perry. Justin Perry is a great interviewer. At this point, I consider him to be a friend, a kindred spirit. He has the largest sort of self-help, self-transformation channel on YouTube called You Are Creators. And I've gotten just a wave of wonderful feedback from his viewers all over the world. And it's free to just, it's just like, you know, anything else. It's a YouTube video. You go there, you watch it. You can subscribe to his channel. And if you don't have the link, well, just go to at Joshua P. Warren on Twitter, at Joshua P. Warren. Or just type, go to Google or whatever your, you know, Bing, whatever your search engine is, and just type in Joshua P. Warren Twitter. It'll bring up my Twitter page, and you can scroll through and find links to things. And you'll see the link to me being recently interviewed by Justin Perry on You Are Creators, and it's about the suppressed technology of the wishing machine. But we get into some other really interesting advanced stuff that you may not have seen about or heard about. And, you know, that's also just a good way to get in touch with me in general. And look, you hear me say it all the time. It's becoming more and more important to say it. I get sometimes thousands and thousands of emails per day, and I do my best to read every single one of them, but I cannot answer every single one of them. That would be physically impossible. And so when you write to me, I will do my best to read it. And so even though, yeah, you can go and follow me on Twitter, and I post a lot of information there that helps to supplement this podcast, you're better off to go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com. You'll find my email address on the homepage. And you should also sign up for my free e-newsletter. It takes you 2 seconds, and that is the fastest way for me to get information to you in a nutshell when new big things happen. If you're a new subscriber, you'll instantly receive a digital good luck charm that I think you'll really enjoy. I want you to tell all your friends about this podcast and tell them that, well, something big may be happening with this podcast that's going to make it an even more regular, consistent presence in your life, which is a great thing. So you want to stay updated because of that. Go to the Curiosity Shop. See what we have there. These are unique, handcrafted items. A lot of them are inventions, things that I've designed, and we make small batches, and they sell out left and right all the time. So go there and see what might be available before it sells out. If you're into manifestation, magic, just weird stuff, you don't have to buy anything. Just go look at it, okay? Go to joshuapwarren.com, see the Curiosity Shop. But it's very important, if you want to stay updated on how everything is going here, for you to click the link there on the homepage to this podcast, because, you know, I have some big, big news, a lot of big news coming soon, not just about this podcast, but this brand new book that I just finished, this new product, new productions that I'm working on. I mean, it's dizzying, but I'm keeping up with all of it. And also, I thank all of you who send me good wishes and blessings, because really, the only thing that I really want from you as somebody who enjoys this podcast, I want you to, every time you think of it, just send protective energy and blessings of health and happiness to me and my wife, Lauren. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what you have in life if you don't have your health and your happiness. And that's one of the things that I think sucks most about this year. You know, we've been lucky we haven't gotten sick, but because of the situation we're in, you know, I'm not getting as much exercise as I should be. You know, there are times where you splurge and you say, oh, hell, you know, and you eat some junk food. It's been a tough year for, you know, maintaining health. So just keep sending positivity, health, blessings to me and Lauren, and I am always happy to do the same for you, and we do that for each other. And so, to stay in touch, to keep our family of Jedis together, click the link to this podcast there at joshuapwarren.com. The podcast is called Joshua P. Warren Daily. It's always short. It's always free. It is commercial free. It is uncensored and entirely independent. And when you click that link, you can subscribe through various different means and methods. But you also can just follow me on Twitter, at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and I will usually tweet when a new one is available. So, boy, do I have a lot of stuff to tell you soon. It's amazing how time flies. But thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.